Amen. Today's title is God Has Goals. Turn to first scripture, please, and we'll tie everything into it. Father, we just give you the praise and glory for everything. Train us, O God, to be the most effective servants you have. In Jesus' name, amen. This is 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or the Holy Spirit, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be completed, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God is in the business of teaching us to teach others. None of us have our lives together. Can we say amen to that? God has goals. And He has given us His goals. And they are recorded in the scripture. As I said last week, Zig Ziglar said, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. Last week I attended a graduation service which the speaker spoke about goals that the graduates had met while attending Williamstown High School. And now it was the time to set new goals. To begin to reach for them and hope of achieving them. And while striving to achieve these goals, make a difference in the world. They exhorted the graduates to have big, hairy, audacious goals. These goals are so big that they can't do it by themselves. They're going to need help from each other. And as one speaker spoke, they need the help of God to accomplish these goals. They were actually stating to these people that, or students rather, that they were young adults who were about to take charge of their lives and all the responsibilities that come with it. And I began to think as they were speaking that this was but a microcosm of a greater whole. Sure, it was high school. We tend to minimize it this side of graduation. But it was a real big thing for these kids. And some of them have goals. Some of them had goals to go into the military. Some had goals to have apprenticeships. Some had goals to further their education. But there was an enthusiasm that was about ready to uncork. And I was thinking that this young lady who said that she had attained these goals because God was with her is so true. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We're coming to the end of our fiscal year for streams. And I just want us to begin to understand that God has goals that He has set for all of us. In the journey of His ultimate goal. And in that ultimate goal, we have an ultimate responsibility for our creation, and that is to praise Him and worship Him as God. God sets goals for us, but I don't think many of us remotely think about what are those goals. You know, we understand that Jesus came, died on the cross, and he redeemed mankind, and now we sit in churches, we sing Kumbaya, and we really don't think about our part in fulfilling the call of God in our lives. You are very, very important to God. You're not junk. They are not junk. They are busy trying to figure out life. And they're trying to identify themselves with success. Of which, as I stated over and over again, that God has rigged it so that our lives are successful. We can't fail. Try to. And see what God does. He chases you back because you're his kid. And he wants the best for all of us. And he gives us his word, which is a guarantee, because he swore by no other. There's no one greater than our God, our Father, our Creator. And the choices that we make to be successful is based on what he says. In Daniel 9, God states very clearly what his goals are. He says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Does anyone understand what God is saying here? He has just told us through the prophet Daniel of what his goals are. I will elaborate a little bit. 70 weeks. Daniel says there's 70 weeks. And I'm not going to do a teaching on the 70 weeks of Daniel. But 69 are fulfilled. 70 weeks have God has said it's going to take to wrap this thing up. He says he's going to wrap it up to determine if your people, us, and the city that we're looking for, the New Jerusalem, are fit to inhabit that city. To finish with transgression, that is wrongs that we've done to each other. He's wiped away. To make an end of sins, the things that we do to each other, to ourselves. To reconcile iniquity. Iniquity is a willful sin against someone else. I choose to do this because God's going to bring an end to that. To bring everlasting righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He has done this. To seal up the vision and the prophecy. Everything that has been done, he says, okay, now wrap this up. Put it over here. We're not going to deal with this anymore. It's finished. And to anoint the most holy, which is Jesus Christ. He hasn't anointed Christ yet because the work isn't done. The work of Christ is done, but not the work of the kingdom is done. He still has a few more things that he has to do. But he is active in pursuing to bring everything to a conclusion. In Isaiah 10, he tells us, "For the Lord of hosts will make a determined end to the midst of all the land." He has said that everything that we see that's going on, he's going to bring to an end. It's going to stop. That's his goal. To finish it. Next scripture, please. And all those Now stop your mocking, and your chains, or your chains will become heavier. The Lord Almighty has told me of the destruction decree against the whole land. There is a day coming that God is going to destroy everything and everyone who reject Him. They mock Him. They're in sin. Their chains become heavy to them. He wants to set them free. And because of this, it's a stern warning to all who mock God. Not us. We're just the burden bearers that are out to tell them God loves them. God is for you, not against you. God wants to walk with you forever and ever so that your life can be a success because He has predestined your success. But it's based on your choices. We know that God is working even today. Even today we sense that the Holy Spirit is bringing us into an alignment. But are we consumed with God's goals? You see, we are an active participants in His goal. Whether you understand that or not, when we said, yes, Lord, we become participants. And as participants, it should consume us to want the best results for our Father. Jesus said in John 4:34, He was so consumed with the plan of God, He said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me, and to finish His work. Jesus was not going to be dissuaded, no matter what was thrown against Him, to do His part in fulfilling the call of God. It literally cost Christ His life to fulfill the will of God. And we see this transferred, this desire to fulfill the Father's will by the apostles. And we can tell by how they were killed that even the world, in trying to dissuade them and persuade them to renounce Christ as king, would suffer death than rather give up Christ. They were consumed by it. And if you haven't considered how they died, I encourage you to look into how each of the apostles died in sharing the gospel. And Paul, the most prominent of all the apostles, said in Acts 20, he says, now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that the prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and give in the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And we know that Paul died. He had his head cut off. He was consumed. I am consumed by what God has spoken for us. I have been consumed since I came to Jesus Christ and God began to reveal to me what the part I was to play, what part streams is to play, what part individually you are to play. This brings us to a place of a couple questions I need to ask is, what about your goals? If we are to be like our Father in heaven, we also must set goals. Without goals, what we do vainly is we attempt to do something, and then when hardship comes, we give up. It's not working. We turn back to the sin that has ensnared us instead of walking in the victory that Jesus has procured for us. My question is, what good is it knowing that you're an overcomer if you don't believe it and act upon it? For the word says, we're all overcomers. True? I'm just trying to get you to get your minds liberated a little bit in understanding where you are. It's great that we may have goals, and we may have reached some of them. But it's only a goal. We have to look at the bigger picture of what God wants to accomplish in order for us to not lose heart, not be dissuaded to give up, and count it all loss. For every victory that you take, every step in that victory is glorious to God. Because you're walking out of your prison cell, not staying in it. He has opened up the gates and says, you're free. You're free. How do you measure your goals? And what are your plans for achieving your goals? You see, plans and goals are separate. Goals is the ultimate destination, is what I would like to say. Plans are how we're going to get to that destination. And all of us have been on road trips, right? We know that we're going to pastor's house. And we know that we're going to have a great time at pastor's house, right? But if we don't have plans to know how to get to pastor's house, they're great goals, but they don't mean anything. I need to get to pastor's house. I'm going to ask this guy on the road, hey, do you know where Pastor Gary lives? I've not even heard of him. Okay. And so what we do is we go around Kanish Barnea, we end up at the same place, doing the same thing, and God saying, needs to be something different here. So set your goals, make plans. Man plans, but God brings them to pass. And the most important of them all is God included in your plans? A simple ingredient to which I was thinking about Wednesday night, that this young lady gave God glory and praise when it's not popular to give God glory and praise. But I can tell you this. The result of us being a Christian isn't telling them that we're Christians. It's a changed life. God is actively changing our lives. And so with each goal that we set, we begin this process of coming out of our prison cells. Jesus stated that we're not of this world. And because we're not of this world, the world hates us. It hates him, it hates us. And so because we're his, and we're not going to do things as the world does, we meet resistance. We meet resistance for various reasons, but really, what is that reason for resistance? Because we're gods? Because the world hates us? It's none of that. It's because we forget that we have an adversary. We have someone who does not want God's goals to be completed. That is Satan and his hordes. We must remind ourselves, next scripture, just who Satan is. He's a thief. Comes except to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus came that we may have life, or we may have success, that they may have it more abundantly. He has predestined us not to have success, but have an abundant success in everything that we do. Satan doesn't want us to have success. Satan wants to thwart the plans of God so that it's a never-ending story. It's just constantly rolling. I can't tell you how much Satan has resisted me personally, resisted me and my family, resisted the church. Because I know one thing, I press through. When the things get hard, I turn to God and say, I can't do this. It's yours. I can't do it. We must be so tenacious in bringing an end to all the evil in the land that it doesn't matter what happens to us. And that's really what Jesus did. That's exactly what the apostles did. They were so in love with God that they wanted to fulfill what He had called into their lives. And today, I believe that most of the church has been seduced by the enemy because we're given to the proclivity of entertainment, materialism. I want what Holly has, or I want what Dan and Nikki have. What's your goal? How are you going to attain this? Yesterday at men's meeting, we heard about yielding, submission, and how that affected an individual's life. Are you yielded? Are you submitted? Or are you still trying to get God to do for you instead of you doing for God? He's not a genie where we rub the lamp and He comes out and says, I'll grant you 3 wishes. No. He says, this is my will. You decide whether you want to do this or not. In knowing that God has goals, and in knowing that Satan also has plans designed to inhibit the goals of God, when we call on the name of Jesus Christ, how readily are we calling to fulfill His will? Are we setting up a list of things that we're requesting of Him? And are those requests in line with His will? And I find that it's kind of bogus, because generally what we pray about is, God, give me this. God, give me that. God, I'm going to change your name to Jimmy. You're going to give me, give me, give me. We need to really think about what's happening. And we see all the signs around us as to a world going crazy and degenerating and destroying itself slowly, which is all part of God's plan. I'm concerned about our society. I'm concerned about our kids. I'm concerned about God influencing the political process in a way that we as a people would live in peace, not in woe, because evil inhabits the political process. This nation was founded on principles, Judeo-Christian principles, and trusted in Almighty. And ever since 1962, it has been busily trying to kick God out of his rightful place, to the point of the harmony of society is fraying. What about goals? Let me give you some insights about goals. First of all, goals for us are what we hope for and is a builder of our faith. It's a fulfillment of Hebrews 11:1. Goals are allow our spiritual eyes to see further down the corridors of life. Not only see down the corridors of life, sees where our life is heading. Goals introduce us to spiritual warfare through resistance. We encounter Satan's attacks all the time. Do we capitulate to them? Do we recognize what they are? And are we armed and dangerous so that when they do come, we can squash them? Goals are a sign of maturity. We're no longer running around checking out what's happening. We have specifically set in motion and we are determined to have these things happen. And by the grace of God, they will. God allows us to make goals so that we can make plans in accomplishing these goals. An individual said to me in our last leaders meeting, I don't understand why we're going over our core values. And I said, you need to understand what the core values of Streams is, because Irene and I are not going to be here forever. You see, I'm making plans to set in motion a sure foundation so that Streams is not a flash in the pan. And so it may seem remedial, but it is that important that that foundation be set. What are your plans consisting of? Again, I just want to stir your minds. And I know it's uncomfortable because it's a challenge that we may not think about, I think a lot about. Even more so since the recovery of what God has done in my life personally. And one of the things that I did not do was set goals. You see, I have goals for this year. I have goals for 5 years. I have goals for 10 years out. Maybe your goal is at the end of the day. Expand it. Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of the slugger is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Today's vernacular. A lazy person has difficulty with life and takes the easiest way, but it's met with a lot of resistance, and that's what thorns are, resistance. How many of us like to run through a sticker bush? I've seen it on the commercials where they go through hedges, but never a sticker bush. But the path of the upright is like a highway. It's smooth sailing. You know what the plan is. You know what's coming. You know what to expect. You know how to get there. You know the time frame. Everything begins to run smoothly. You weren't an accident. And you're not here by accident. You determine where you are in your present situation by every decision you make or don't make. If you make plans and you have goals, smooth sailing. It's not saying there won't be a few bumps in the road. But on a whole, God is with you making these things happen. If you're a lazy person and you're just existing, refusing to make plans because you don't see how the word alignment was really pretty good today, you don't see how God wants to align you to His greater purposes. Remember, God has rigged it for you to be successful. Even where you're at right now, you may not think that you're destined for success. I'm saying to you, if you don't have a plan for your future, Satan has a plan for your destruction. If you plan it and you submit it to God, we get His protection. But if we're just doing our own thing, well then, things tend to fall by the wayside that need to be taken care of. We don't see what's down the road for us. We're not planning for those things. And that's great for Satan, because he realizes that his time is short. We've been working in streams methodically. What Gary was saying is really true. What got us here is not going to sustain us. It's true. The old ways are good ways, and we should take them, but we need to learn what God is doing in this day to reach people practically. That is our goal. How are you expressing the gospel to your friends, to your neighbors? God has a plan for your life. Are you yielded to that plan? Or are you still resisting God in favor of Satan? Because there's no middle ground. You're either for Christ or you're against Christ. We saw the effects of the middle ground when Christ said He would spew us out when we're lukewarm. How do we set goals? Well, I want to just read something simple that's on my wall that constantly keeps me focused. It says, watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character. For it will be your destiny. I want you to come away today as we go into the summer months thinking about this new year that God's going to give to us. Planning this out. And it takes time. I get it. It takes time because the plan has to consist of our finances. It has to consist of our interpersonal relationships. Our plan has to include how we're going to grow spiritually. Our plan needs to understand that God has a call on our lives. What are we going to do to make that manifest? It doesn't just, you know, snap your fingers, click your heels, and poof, you are what God says. It would be nice. I'm telling you, it would be great. But God uses time to get us ready. What are you going to do? Closing in, I want you to think about these things. God is doing His part to bring everything to a conclusion. He is. He's doing His part. His desire is for us to follow suit. What are we doing to bring this stuff to an end? Scripture says we can enhance the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? None of this stuff is going to matter to us because Christ is going to take care of it. When we're caught up in the glory, this is all training for us. The enemy is opposing the plan of God, for he knows his time is short and he wants as many people to go to hell with him, ultimately suffering what God had said to the mockers. They will be destroyed. We need to learn to begin to praise God for the small things, for who He is. But more importantly, to praise Him because we've overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of His testimony. And we didn't care about our lives, even to death. I want you to think about these things. I want you to understand that God has not left you or forsake you. He wants to exalt you, but He can't do it with a person who is resistive, because resistance is of the devil, or as Star Trek says, it's futile. with who was that? The Borg, yeah. You know. He will get you to do what He wants. It's just how much pain do you want to go through to get there? I choose not to be in pain, but sometimes that's how God teaches me. Because knowingly or unknowingly, I resist God too. You know, that's our sinful nature. The kingdom of God and Jesus' return is just around the corner. They're the only things that have to be fulfilled in prophecy, according to Scripture. All these activities will be happening in our lives, and we need to pay attention, as God has said to us in intercessory prayer, set the watchman on the ramparts. He wants us to see and be aware of what's going on and what the enemy is preparing for us. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He loves the world. He died for the world. Are you willing to live for Jesus Christ? That's the challenge. It's not dying, as one individual said to me. I would die. I said, yeah, we saw what happened with Peter. He said it too. And three times he rejected him. Are you willing to live for him is the challenge. What are those goals that God has placed within you for you to succeed in getting his gospel out You determine that. You determine that, and your determination will either determine the destiny for Streams, because my hope is that all of us would be consumed so much in fulfilling what God has called. We celebrated last week with the signs. That's a small step in the right direction. And it could not have been done without your participation. Doesn't matter how great or how small, you participate. And as you get to know how faithful God is, hopefully your participation would be greater. Father, I give them your word. I pray that this summer would be the beginning of something glorious in their lives. I pray blessings upon them. I pray that your face shines on them. I pray that you be exalted, that we bring glory to your name, and that we who bear the image of Jesus Christ would share their gospel with whoever would hear us. And until we get together again, in Jesus' name, amen. Anyone would want prayer, we would be happy to pray.